Hi, I'm Brooke Taylor, the pastor of Missio Church. We exist to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without having to come or go anywhere. Thank you so much for listening to our sermon series through the Old Testament book of Proverbs titled Wisdom for Life. We are so excited about what God is teaching us through His Word. It is the prayer of the elders of Missio Church that listening to this sermon would help transform you into the image of Jesus Christ and deepen your relationship with Him. We desire that this sermon would be a supplement to your regular engagement in a local church and would not replace in any way you gathering with that church and submitting to the leaders that God has put over your life. If the elders of Missio Church can be of any assistance to you, you can contact us through our website, www.missiochurch.faith. You can also email us at admin@missiochurch.faith or by calling us 631-241-2136. If you're not a part of a local church, visit with us any Sunday at 10 a.m. at 70 Smith Road in Ridge, New York, and streaming on YouTube, Missio Church LI. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Daughter-in-law never could dive off a diving board, and I could show you the video if you want, but in one easy lesson, I taught her how to dive. And she was so excited last weekend. But God is good. Many of you have thought, how is Bob Jones doing? The Lord took my wife home to him back in March. And I was very saddened and not doing too good the first couple months. But praise the Lord. God has been dealing with me. I've never been closer to the Lord. I have to thank the church. You know, Pastor lost his dad, and I think for a lot of reasons, they started this group, Grief Share, in our church. You may have heard of it. We just ended a few weeks ago, 13 weeks of talking about the grief that we sometimes experience. Sometimes it comes onto us as a rush, and it did for me. So those of you that have called and been concerned for me, I am much better. And praise the Lord, I'm seeking God's will in my life and functioning. They call it in Grief Share the new normal. They taught me that God numbers our days, not me. My wife was God's, not mine. And I needed to give her up to him. It would be selfish of me to want her back. She's in a better place. Time will heal some of the wounds. I'll always miss her. We have two children together. You'll hear about some of them as I go through the lesson. Great to be with you. A few things that I'll say before I start. Proverbs. We've been going through Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon. And part of going through Proverbs is that a proverb is a short statement based on a lot of experience. A short statement based on a lot of experience. A proverb is hard-hitting, short. They don't tend to be long, okay? We've been going through the Proverbs this summer. There are four characters, basically, in Proverbs that it talks about. One is the fool, the scoffer, the naive, and the sluggard. Well, I'm going to talk today about the sluggard. It may not affect some of you, but this may be a message where the person that is sitting next to you, you say, well, that message was really good for you. I'm going to do something different as we start. Would you turn to the person next to you and greet them this morning? Yes. Boy, Bob, love you too. Love you too. Thank you. Thank you. We need to be kind to each other. Like I said, Proverbs is hard-hitting. And We focus on character types. The pastor is calling it wisdom of Christ. If you've been around church, you know that Jesus' most famous sermon is called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, in which he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Hopefully, if I do my job today, we'll land there at the end, that we will have good works before God. In my years working with young people, I never had a parent request a lazy talk or a lazy seminar or a retreat about laziness or even an individual one-on-one with their son who was showing signs of being lazy. But I'm assured they were out there and that particularly their moms knew it. This is a lesson that someone will say, yeah, that's somebody I know, either in the family or somebody that you associate with. Would you stand with me as I read today's message scripture? Proverbs 6, 6 to 11. "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise without having any chief, officer, or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard, when you will arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man." And then over in Proverbs 26, 13 through 16, the sluggard says, "There's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. A slugger is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." Remain standing as I pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for another Lord's Day that we're in this place. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's here and the families they represent. I thank you, Lord, for this study in Proverbs as we cover this difficult sin. I pray, Lord, for your kindness and your grace to us. Give us a good morning together. We thank you for the music that's already been sung, for your children who we've recognized this morning. They are a gift from God. And as we raise them, I pray that we wouldn't raise sluggards, but that we would raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for everyone here and for your message this morning. And I pray in the worthy name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Okay. Well, did you know that laziness is one of the seven deadly sins? Those other sins are pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and our sloth or our sluggard laziness. That was done 600 years ago. The church back then said that those were the worst sins, and laziness is a part of them. Let's start by defining what Scripture means by laziness, how it almost always mocks the lazy person, verse after verse. So I don't want to miss that. I want to pass that along to you, that the Bible, and particularly Proverbs, talks extensively about the mocking part of a person that is lazy. What are the characteristics of a lazy person? There's a lion in the street, always making excuses. Reminds me of last summer, but last July, there was a cow loose in Mastic. Do you remember what they named the cow? It starts with a B. I looked this up. Remember they named it Barney? It was a black cow, and I have coworkers that would go out or completely avoid mastic. They drove around mastic. They didn't want to have an encounter with the cow. It was a black cow. It was an Angus cow, a beautiful cow, and they did preserve it and finally caught it. But then there were other people at my job that wanted to see a glimpse of it. They just wanted to see Barney somewhere. And so they would drive through the streets and try to find Barney. That's not really what we're talking about, but it reminded me of it because there's a lion in the street. Well, we live on Long Island. There's no lions in the street. People will find any reason not to go out, right? That's part of the whole definition of laziness. A door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. Often a lazy person would rather sleep than face the day. In one of my many sales jobs, I had a secular career and a Christian career. One of those jobs was to sell door hardware. So I literally sold doors and door hinges to all of the school districts here on Long Island. And I know a lot about doors, and I can tell you they don't go anywhere. They are made, most of them have three hinges, and they are made to turn. Well, this verse says that, I did that for 12 years, a person rolls from one side of the bed to the other, which accomplishes nothing. Right? Some figured out that if you hit a snooze button for 15 minutes in the morning, that would be 92 hours a year, equaling 4 days, 4 days wasted. All you have to do is hit your snooze for 15 minutes. The sluggard, the verse says, buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. He takes the food and can't even get it back to his mouth. He's so lazy. Unwilling to focus on the task at hand, easily distracted, his mind occupied with dreaming and fantasies. The teacher that recognizes the person or the child that's not dyslexic, not in any way impaired, but they just can't seem to focus. They've never had somebody sit them down. Did you see how those young people were focused on what Paul was saying so much that they said, oh, you forgot to say you are bald. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sincerely. Sometimes we find people that are so smart that they're no earthly good, you know. Sometimes they're book smart. I have two smart kids, and they're very book smart. And one of them is street smart, and the other one is book smart. the person knows it that they want to coach rather than instead of playing, they want to tell others what to do rather than work at something or avoid work at all cost. They want to deceive themselves through self-deception. They want to avoid work. This all goes to the fact that we need to be disciplined. We'll talk about that in a minute. But my dad used to say, he died of COVID last year, but he used to say, well, it's fixed temporarily. Doesn't look too bad. It'll be fine temporarily. I realize now that raising six children, he didn't have the money to buy new, so he had to fix things. Yeah. And he would fix it temporarily. And it was a saying that he used often. But my daughter is raising two girls. They're in high school now. One, the youngest, is a freshman. And her rule in the family is if you start something, you're going to finish it. So if you sign up for swimming, you're going to swim. It seemed that the younger one signed up last year for swimming, and they're a Navy family, so it seemed to make sense that they're swimmers. And She joined the swim team, and lo and behold, she was sore for weeks. And she complained to me, and she didn't want to really do it anymore, but that was the rule of the family. Well, she ended up raising hundreds of dollars because they had a swimathon at the end, and she had worked her way up to swim. I think she did 3 strokes, and you paid for each lap that she made, you know. And she raised the most money of all the children. And she was glad to do it, but she didn't like it at the beginning. You know, things like that can be hard. We're going to talk about that too. So now we turn to what is the cause of laziness? Well, we're all prone to sin. If it's a sin, then we're all prone to sin, right? Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." The sluggard wants and craves, but fails by lack of effort. Does not come down to lack of desire, but an abundance of desire for comfort. I have to stop here and say that leisure is not laziness. How often do we really need a vacation to regroup and prepare a time to relax and perhaps enjoy nature in different parts of this great country? It's not really what I'm talking about. What's another cause? Idle time sometimes causes a person to become lazy. You know, we've just gone through a tremendous upheaval in our world because of COVID. It certainly touched my family. My mother and father died of COVID. And, you know, it kept many people in. We were talking this morning, Bob and I, that it kept many people in their homes doing their job. Well, if you know anything about New York City, they're having quite a stir in New York City because no one's going back to their offices. So what do these companies do with these offices? Some of them are selling, but some large ones, some corporations are now requiring their employees to go back to work and start attending work. And this is quite a pull. You may have gotten money from the government during COVID. And people got used to getting money from COVID and didn't really work and never went back to work. Some of them because they're lazy. I don't know. Idle time. A note to young people. Stay busy. Get creative. And fill your extra time with doing right things the right way. Try things that may interest you. You know, we all have interests. Drawing, creating, music, study, physical activities. Things that would keep you busy. Idle time is not good for a young person. As much as you want them to be comfortable, we have to have purpose in life. We have to teach young people to do that. More about parenting later. Some people stay away from churches, and particularly during COVID. I remember sitting in meeting after meeting, what are we going to do? We're going to put it on social media. We're going to bring them back. You remember those days when we had people in masks in part of the building and people up front, and then we took these machines and went through each aisle, putting antiseptic everywhere. We did everything we could, but sometimes we didn't meet here, right? Well, some churches have experienced that some percentage of their congregation never went back. They're still not back. That's what thrills me this morning, that 40 or 50 of you are here. Half our church is upstate, and you came out today. That's great. I'm loving this. I expected 10 people to be here. God bless you. Some people crave a new healthy body. They join a gym. Then quit because they find working out is what? It's hard. Working out is hard. Did anyone lose their yard this year? Mine is completely brown. First time in 38 years. I have 14 neighbors, 14 houses on my block, and six of us have lost our lawns. I don't have a sprinkler system. That doesn't help. But I realized that someone else in my family saved our lawn year after year because she got home from teaching earlier than I got home from work for 38 years. That was hard work. Her soul was richly supplied. She was the one who saved the grass. So what is the cost of laziness? Proverbs 21:26. Do we have that, Tim? 21:26 says, all day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. And then Proverbs 6:11, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. It may cost you prosperity if you're lazy. You know, I know people in the work environment, my corporate years, that would try to do the least amount of work for the most amount of pay. You know people like that? You know them in your hospitals, you know them in your schools, you know them in your place of business. People that want to do the least amount of work for the most amount of pay. Sometimes it costs you prosperity. Proverbs 24, the sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek a harvest and have nothing. It may cost you progress. If you don't produce, you'll have nothing to show for it, for even any effort put into it. And then Proverbs 10:26. I told you there were a lot of verses in Proverbs talking about the sluggard. Like vinegar, get this, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the sluggard to those who send him. You know what that means? The sluggard costs other people's trust. They can't depend on them for anything. Well, this problem of laziness is not only in the Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament. Do we have, Tim, 2 Thessalonians 3:6? Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. Wow, is that pretty hard-hitting? We're not supposed to associate with a lazy person, especially if they refuse work. We're going to talk about work in a second. Sometimes laziness can cost a wasted life. In many cases, a lack of desire, but driving desire for comfort. The Bible makes it clear it will cost you and others around you at work, at school, in a marriage, in relationships with your family members. Laziness will cost you. Well, all this gloom and doom. Let's talk about a cure to laziness. Is there a cure? Yes. God could do anything. He's helped me through some rough times recently. Simply put, it's discipline. Ultimately, working as God's ambassador takes effort and drive and resolve, right? Only 1% of people are what experts call gifted. They can sit down. Do you know these types? You can sit down to a piano and they play. They can pick up a trumpet and just play. They, like Jack Nicklaus, if any of you know that name, he's I think, the very best golfer ever. And the statistics can show that. He and Tiger Woods are neck and neck. And I like to golf. And I've studied about him when he was 10 years old. 10 years old, David. 10 years old his father was a pharmacist, and he broke his ankle. And he said, well, I could send my boy out to play at the country club. So he had his son take his place. And he broke 100, the first time he ever played golf. First time. Only 10% of golfers break 100. Of all golfers, 10%. He did it when he was 10, first time he ever played. It's amazing. Only 1% is that gifted person. They call them savants, where they just can sing like a bird, or they can paint, or they can shoot a basketball, or many different things, but only 1%. So most of us in this room are part of the 99% that have to work at it. They say that to get good at something, you have to put 10,000 hours into something. 10,000 hours to be an expert. And some people do. Some people put that time in. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." That verse comes in chapter 2, and in chapter 3 is the fall of man. So work is not the problem. Work was cursed by God in chapter 3 that there were going to be thorns and thistles that Adam was going to take care of. But before that, work was blessed. You know that we're going to work in heaven? The Bible talks about having jobs. Bob's going to be a banker, you know? I don't know if there's banks up there, Bob, but you're going to have, Mark's going to be in construction. How cool is that? We take what we learned here on earth and we bring it to heaven, the skills that we have. So we'll all have jobs. Don't know what they'll be. John MacArthur says, God turned Adam from a flower arranger into a farmer, a gardener into a plow horse when he cursed the difficulty of work. Work wasn't the problem, but God cursed work and made it more difficult. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Work can be hard. That's why they pay us for it. If we loved it, it would be more like a hobby, and why would we ask for pay, right? You say, "Bob, I hate my job." I had a boss at Citibank one time that always said, "You only grow when you're uncomfortable. You only grow when you're uncomfortable." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him, that we should walk in them." Now, what does that mean? We are workmanship created by Christ for good works. Well, what is a good work? Paul did a good work this morning in talking to the children. You did a good work at work, perhaps, when you talked to that person that was having trouble. Those are good works. We're going to be held accountable. Martin Luther said, "There's two dates on my calendar. One is today, and the other date is when I see Jesus and when I give an account for what I did here." He worried about today, and he worried about when he met Jesus and how he was going to present. You know, I'm not consumed about what kind of mansion I'm going to have in heaven, but I know that we're going to have a mansion. 1 Timothy 4:7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Think of a person that you feel is godly. What do they do? How do they act? What works are they doing for the Lord? What ambassadors have they been for the Lord? I found this for parents. As parents, we have great responsibility to raise children that are known, get this, for the quality of their work, consistency of their attendance, honesty of their endeavor, and the extra mile given in the place of their employment. These simple things will mark the godly as our world gives up on the standards of God's word. That's worth repeating. As parents, we have a great responsibility in this to raise children that are known for the quality of their work, consistency of their attendance, honesty of their endeavor, and the extra mile given in the place of their employment. These simple things will be the marks of godliness as our world gives up on the standards of God's word. And young people, look for signs in your own life. Look for signs of sleeping in. Look for signs of talking your way out of work. I have a neighbor that has a teenager, and this boy won't take the garbage out. And the parents always complained. He can't take the garbage out, or he refuses. And we have this kind of back and forth about why he doesn't want to take the garbage. He doesn't like to be told to take the garbage out. That's why. He doesn't like to be imposed on. So oftentimes I'll go out, I put the garbage out, especially now, most days, and the garbage is not out again across the street. Well, I think there might be a problem there. Might be a chance for a retreat. Talk about laziness. I don't know where you land in this deadly sin. The Lord calls us to redeem the time, for surely the days are evil. Our example, our ultimate example is Jesus Christ, right? In this. You know, you can't accuse Jesus of ever being lonely. They walked everywhere. Those sandals were very important to those men. The followers of Jesus used to have to keep up with his schedule. He'd wake up early in the morning. Many times he would fast for days. He'd be concerned about cities like Jerusalem. Our Lord was a carpenter. Now, he could have said, Lord, build a house. He could have done that with a spoken word. Instead, he built the house. He built it with his own hands. We forget that he was a carpenter. He was in construction. He worked. He worked before ministry in preparation. The Bible says he was in favor with God and man. So not only was he in God's favor, but I guess he was a good carpenter. I guess he really did it well. Our Lord was giving to people. He said, suffer the children to come unto me. They'd want to say, no, they're just children. Why would you want to surround yourself with children? He said, suffer the children to come unto me. He spoke to thousands of people. So many so that he would have to go in a boat and speak over the water because it amplifies. Paul said he has a loud voice. Well, if there was a pool of water, it would have been even louder. That's what Jesus did. They'd put him in a boat, and he would talk back to the people on the shore. So many of them. For days, he would minister and walk to cities every day. I don't think he ever had a day where we see that he took a vacation or that he had to rest. He took a lot of naps. I don't know. I'm a napper. Anyone else a napper? I can nap and be right back to it. Huh, Steve? You could be right back to it. Give me an hour. Give me 45 minutes. I'm right back to it, right? I don't know. I guess I've learned that over my years. To be able to I can do it on a plane. I used to travel a lot, and I could put my head back, and 45 minutes, I'm right back to, you know, charged up, ready to go. Some people can't nap. They have to get their 8.5, you know, a night. I'm different. We have to know ourselves, right? I think Jesus was a napper. He's found napping in the boat. Remember the story? He's found at times getting a little shut-eye. And then other times, everybody else goes to sleep and he stays up. He fasted. Our Lord fasted many days. You hear that he doesn't eat. You know, our bodies are built for fasting. Our bodies are not built to just keep filling it up and filling it up. Our bodies are best functioning when every once in a while we fast. We deny ourselves, you know, 3 square meals. I feel this way because some of you know me when I was 350 pounds. And now I'm not. And that was hard work. But I don't think our Lord was a fat man. I don't think he was very, I think he was in good shape. I think he worked at it. I think he knew that people were going to look at him and they were going to say, well, you know, let me look like him. They say he was not particularly handsome. I've read many commentaries that our Lord was impressive. So he wasn't, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he wasn't, you know, overweight either, because they walked everywhere. You walk like I did for a year, and you lose weight. You get in shape. So again, I don't know where you land with this deadly sin of laziness, but God's grace. You can help a young person, you can help a family member from the thralls of laziness. It's one of those sins of omission. Sometimes we do what we should do, sometimes we don't. But I agree with Scripture that it can be, after working with young people so much, it can be a problem. If you're raised, whole households are lazy. I think that we need to realize that it was important back then, and it's important now. Our example is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to get to know him. You need to have him as an example. You need to know what he did in those books, the red-lettered areas of Scripture, the things that he taught, the things that are important to all of us. Our God is a great God, and he can do tremendous things in your life. If you don't have him, don't waste any more time. Today is the day of salvation. Talk to one of us. Be with one of us. I'll end on this. Things can be rough at times for all of us. Sometimes we just would rather not face what we have to face, because life is hard. Life can be hard. But Lord willing, you realize that our Savior gave his life for us. That our Savior said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's good news. Let's pray.